Father, we give you the praise and the honor. We give you the adoration because you are God. Thank you for a night like this. Thank you for a night like this. Thank you for a night like this. And thank you for a night like this. Be thou glorified. With you, Lord, we could be naked and not ashamed. With you, Lord, we can be open and have no fear. For we have found in you a friend that we can trust. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat.
And with you, Lord, I can be naked and not ashamed. With you, Lord, I can be loved and have no fear. For I found in you a friend I can trust. That is why you're in my
Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The days of youth, knowing God and His secrets, part two. The days, I'm sure you have the part one of the message. Everyone who listened to this message in the morning, I'd like you to go over it again and let your friends know what you heard. There are three things I'm going to say tonight by way of introduction. Three things that the youth age is designed to accomplish. First of all, the youth age is the age of sowing. The age of sowing, planting. Sowing the right seed, sowing the right thought, sowing the right actions. It is seed time. It is sowing time. The youth age is the sowing years of life. While old age is the harvest years of life. Reaping years. When the sowing season is not maximized, regrets are inevitable. Every time you see an adult, especially an elder, regretting so much, what has happened is that in the season of sowing, he was playing. In the season of planting, he was sleeping. Listen to this. Impute in youth age
determines the outcome of old age. Impute in youth age determines outcome in old age. Nobody ends in life where they ended by accident. I told you I fasted for 3 days dry for the first time at the age of 11 in the year of 1979. At that time, I remember a young man who was with us in the same camp meeting like this. What is camp meeting like this? We used the secondary school, Wesley High School in Otukpo in Benue State, 1979. Young man. And in those days, if you fasted, you broke the fast exactly 12 midnight of the third day. Young man, the first day of the fast, how did the fast go? Say, I forgot I ate. Second day, bro, how was the fast? I forgot again. I ate food. That was how he wasted that fast for 3 days. I heard that at a point, this young man can lay hands on somebody and the person will vibrate on the bed of sickness and the power will lift him and land him on the floor. He had such level of primitive power in the kindergarten stage. Where will he be now if that power grew? This young guy is not even in the faith at all today. It's not at all. Not at all. Has children from here and there. There's children from here, children there. Impute in youth age is what determines the outcome of old age. Let people laugh at you now that you are too serious. Let them laugh at you now that you are too intense. Let them mock at you now that you are not social. The end justifies the means. Those who thought we were wasting our time, they don't think so now. Those who thought we were too serious with God, they don't think so right now. Those who thought we took God and carried church on our heads, they don't think so right now. That's the first thing to know. Sit down. First, youth age is the age of sowing. The question to ask is, what are you sowing right now? What kind of thought are you sowing? What kind? Because your thought is seed. What kind of actions are you sowing? Because the Bible says you will give them the fruit of their doings. What kind of words are you sowing? Very important. Number two, youth age is vision age. It's the age of vision. It's the age of dreaming about the future. It's the age of seeing the future that is yet to arrive. Joseph maximized that age. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 all the way to verse 7, he dreamt dreams. While his brethren were ordinarily sleeping sleeps. Everybody sleeps, few dream. He dreamt dreams. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, he said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions. The age of youth is the age of vision. Where you are permitted to travel on the wings of your imagination. Into distant manifestations that look too impossible to be true. You know, little children can dream and dream very wild. Say, my father is about to buy me a helicopter. Say, you don't know? Say, ah, my father can buy me a helicopter. Say, see me up there flying. Kenneth Copeland said he grew up as a boy during the Second World War, where the military planes were flying all over America in the middle 40s. He would lie down on the ground looking up in the air and say, see me up there flying inside one of these planes. He saw himself up there as a child. And as a student of Oral Roberts University, he became a pilot. He was both Oral Roberts driver and his pilot. He would drive him to the airport and fly him in the aircraft. He has not stopped flying till today. He's flown and has flown aircraft for almost 50-something years. And has given out aircrafts almost 30-something to people as gifts. He saw it then. It's the age of vision. When the mind is blank, the future is blank. One of the things I see with most young people, when you look at their faces, it's totally blank. So much confusion. There is nothing. You can't see anything tangible. You can literally see through them and it's all blankness. Or those who have vision is destructive and disastrous vision. The youth age is vision age. Vision in youth age is what determines the manifestations of old age. Visions in youth age determines the manifestation of old age. For anything to come, you must see it coming. Did you hear what I just said? What you don't see coming never comes. The things that don't cross your mind, they will never cross your life. If they cross your life, they can't stay. Because whatever arrives by chance disappears by chance. If it must arrive to stay, it must arrive by vision. That is why those who inherited their father's monies can't keep it. Majority of them. Because they don't know how it came, so they lack the capacity of how to keep it. Except they have vision of themselves. In fact, vision to be heavier than their father. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Listen to this. Vision in young age determines reality in old age. The realities of a man's life when he is old, these realities are determined by the visions of young age. The question is, what is it that is in your mind? What is your obsession? Where do you see your life heading? What do you see yourself becoming? Whatever we are seeing now in our ministry here today, the little thing we are seeing, because like I told you in the morning, the bulk of what we have seen in the spirit, we haven't seen in the physical yet. But the little things we are seeing now, we are not surprised to see them. We are humbled, we are appreciative, but we are not shocked. We will only be surprised if they were not happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because longest time, we see fire erupting. We see this fire saturating the earth. We see every inhabited place of the earth impacted by fire from the altar. Just seen a little of it here. The youth age is the age of vision. But hear this now. Those who have no dreams or visions in youth age will have nightmares in old age. An old age filled with nightmares is a product of youth age, bankrupt of vision. A youth that does not know where he is going will not like where he will end. If you don't know where you are going, you will never like where you will end. If you don't know where you are going, how can you know when you get there? If you don't know where you are headed in life, you won't like where you will be found later in life. When medical school, I was in fourth year, and this guy was in sixth year. Brothers in the same fellowship. And I said, bro, where are you going to do your housemanship? They're talking about almost 30 years ago. Housemanship was not where you struggled to do. Your housemanship was available anywhere. I mean, people were looking for you. Where will you do your house job? He is in sixth year, maybe 2 months to graduation. And he said, I don't know yet. He didn't know yet. He didn't, I don't have an idea yet. Now, this guy graduated, and for 6 months, to the best of my knowledge, he was still looking for where to do housemanship. At a time where doing housemanship was not an issue, you didn't look for a job. He just wasted. He just kept on wasting. And as I speak to you today, the last time I heard of him was the last time I asked him, where will you do your house job? The last time I heard of him was the last time I asked him, where will you do your house job? That is like 30 years ago. If you don't know where you are going, you won't like where you will end. If you lack definition, you must lack destination. If you lack definition, you must lack destination. You are in the age where most people are thinking of getting married. What kind of man would you like to marry? It must be very, very clear. I hope there is a marriage session in this thing. If there is none, there has to be. If you don't understand the kind of person you would like to marry, you will be shocked at the kind of marriage you will be found in. Not every Christian can be your husband. And not every Christian can be your wife. Not that they are bad people. Not that they are not Christians. But they are not wired for your life. They are not wired for your life. They cannot accommodate your complexities. In all due respect, they cannot accommodate your emotional and psychological makeup. They cannot accommodate your proclivities and idiosyncrasies. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? They cannot accommodate your attitude. You know, Jesus had multitudes. A multitude is nothing but multiple attitudes. And every time you see the gathering of people, you see multiplied attitudes. Not that they are bad people, just that attitudes are multiple. That is why it is, it was clear to me who I can marry. It was clear 10 years before I knew. Not that I knew the face or the particular person, but I knew the composition of who I can marry. Because not everybody can marry me. I mean, I just came from Boko today, yesterday, after preaching in the morning service, went through one of our churches again, people gathered I didn't know, ministered to them, came to Abuja yesterday, preached midweek service, I'm here preaching now, preaching tonight, preaching in the morning, preaching tonight, preaching tomorrow morning, preaching tomorrow night. And then the weekend evangelism, then Sunday services, three of them. Next week, schedule continues. I'm in Enugu for crusade weekend. And they return back and then the schedule. Which woman will marry such a man? The one who is pleasure centered. The one who wants to go for summer in Paris. Because it is summer now. That one wouldn't have been comfortable near me at all. Because I have not known what summer is all about for years. Praise the Lord. People are just experimenting with their life today. They marry today, they are talking of divorce tomorrow. Part of it is that they don't know what they want. They don't know what they were getting into. They have no clue. First of all, they don't know what they are entering. And secondly, they didn't ask God any question. They selected wife like you select shoe. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Life is too short to gamble with it. Don't gamble with your life. You may not win the gamble. You didn't hear what I just said. Don't gamble with that. Is entering a wrong marriage, you just lost the gamble. The gamble, you lost it. You didn't win. Stepping into a wrong career, you lost a gamble. Going to America because you got green card and God didn't send you there, you just lost a gamble. The youth that lacks vision in youth age cannot escape nightmares in old age. Nightmares, terrifying things, terrible things, unbelievable outcomes of life. Life with horrible, horrible stories. You know, a man pretended that he was a Christian and went to church so he can marry a good Christian wife that will obey him in everything. And the girl pretended that she was a Christian. A girl pretended that she was a Christian. So she can marry a good Christian husband that will not trouble her. So the two of them jam in church. They married each other. When they arrived home after the reception, this one opened his bottle of beer. The other one lit his cigarette. True life story. He said, I thought you were a Christian. I said, me too. I thought you were a serious Christian. Me too, I thought the same. That was how they jammed each other. Wahala, marry trouble. That was how they deliver tribulation. Deliver calamity, catastrophe. The man has died since. Oh, he died since. He didn't last. He didn't last at all. He can't last. It's such a setting, can't last. Am I communicating? Take your seat. Listen to this. Vision in young age is the foundation for motion in old age. If life must move, he said the vision is for an appointed time. Write it on tables that he may run that readeth it. When you see an adult man running, and everything seems to be fast in his life, he's not running by accident. He saw vision afar. He's living the realm of vision. And by living such a life, he's running aggressively. Vision in old age, in young age, equals motion and action in old age. When you see an adult whose life is grounded, totally stagnated, in all probability, he left his life to chance. And whatever is left to chance has no chance. Anything left to chance has got no chance. Hallelujah. Is God still speaking to anybody here at all? You know, I told a story in church some time ago of someone I wanted to help. And I asked him, what will you like to do? That is, I am ready with money to give him, to assist him, to start something and make his life good. Adult man of over 40. What would you like to do? I want to assist you with finances so you can do something and make your life better. He doesn't know. I said, okay. Can you think over it and come? He did not return back till about 6 months. He sincerely did not know. He was very sincere in his ignorance, in his visionlessness. When later he came and I gave him, he went and tried. Nothing was working. And he was very sincere. He returned back the money. Intact. I'm not telling you dream. That is, I want to help you. I don't know what to do with whatever you want to help me with. Listen to this. Divine action, even divine action, is impossible without human vision. That is, God himself is helpless and can do nothing with a man who knows not what to do. Divine action is impossible in the absence of human vision. That was what he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. All the land which thou canst see, I will give. What I can give you is not determined by me. That's God speaking. It's determined by you. What I, God, can give you is not determined by me, God. It's determined by you. What I can do with your life is not determined by me. It's determined by you. How far I can take you on it is not determined by me. It's determined by you. The level of manifestations and results you can see in life and ministry and destiny as a whole, it's not determined by me, Jehovah. I can do all things. But your disposition limits my manifestation. All the land which thou can see, I will give. If you can't see it, even though I have it, I can't give it. all the land which thou can see. I will give it. If you can't see it, even though I have it, I can't give it. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. The New International Version, the Living Bible. All you can ask or imagine. That is, your vision weighs like your supplication. Your imagination is weighing like your petition. So I can do what you ask, and I can also do what you imagine. Is God speaking to anybody here? Please move about with a loaded mind. People may think you are too serious. It's all right. Nothing can be glorious until someone is serious. Nothing. No ministry, no destiny, nothing, no business. Nothing can be glorious until someone is serious. They may say you are too serious. You are too absorbed. You are a workaholic. It's all right. So the youth age is the age of sowing. Second, the youth age is the age of vision. And I will dwell here more tomorrow. Third, the youth age is responsibility age. It is responsibility age. It is responsibility age. It is good for a young man that he bears the yoke of his youth. That should be Lamentation 3:51 or so. It is good for a young man that he bears the yoke of his youth. I might go in detail here tomorrow. Lamentation 3:27. That he bear the responsibility of his youth. Youth age is responsibility. That is why those who join soldier join as youth. They don't recruit 40-something years old or 50, except you want to kill many people. You want to kill many people. They have lacked the stamina to be able to run endurance. Endurance race, keep on moving. Just endlessly running, keep on moving. Work them, duty them, job them night till morning to decivilianize them and militarize them. Cause the civilian to depart and the military to be imparted. Right? So that they can be ready to waste the enemies when necessary. So they can run through a troop. So they can be fighting in the battlefield for 3 days, 3 nights, no sleep. And they are okay. Do you understand? Youth age is responsibility age. That is why they don't recruit adults in the military. That is why if you are interested in football at the age of 50, you are interested too late. You can be any other thing, but not active play. Most courses, you attack it at a young age. Medical school. Because the load of work they do in the medical school, it will be difficult for 40, 50 years to come and start afresh. Very, very difficult. That is why, hear this, don't forget this. The youth who fails to accept responsibility will end as an elder who dies as a liability. The youth, the young man, young woman who fails to accept responsibility dies as the, will die as, will end as the elder who dies as a liability. You know that kind of elder that dies as a liability. Looking for food to eat, looking for house rent. He's the burden of everybody. Someone whose burden everybody is carrying. Very, very terrible. Very, very, very terrible. My father started business at the age of 18. Young man. From age 12, he's already doing a lot of things. But at the age of 18, he started, and his father died when he was young. And my father told us many things that ruggedized me. It annoyed other people, but it ruggedized me. He said, me, I don't know my father. You know your father. What will you become? Very brutal things. He said, I started business. He carried load on his head until his head became bald in young age. He said, I started business at the age of 18. You are 18 now. Why are you hanging around here? It was like knife. It was like, you know, I'm getting angry. But I'm going to school now. Should I leave school and start business? Very annoying. He talks those kind of things. See, I'm hanging up and down, hanging up and down. See, no, nobody should look at my money. Because I didn't look at anybody's money. He was very rugged, though. In fact, he would say things like, don't think of inheriting my wealth. He said it raw. There are things he said I won't even like to say here. I should tell you. You want to hear? All right. The one that you can hear, I'll tell you. Very, very, very rugged. One day I came with long list of books. Anatomy, biochemistry, Harper's biochemistry, Guiding Ganon physiology. Long list. And I put all the dissecting set, everything with all the prizes, everything. He looked at it and said, I am sure there is somebody in your class who does not have a father. And unfortunately for me, there was somebody from my village who didn't have a father. I knew he's an orphan. I said, yes, sir. He said, so who will buy this for him? He just shook me up and I made up my mind that I will make impact on time, that I will not be a liability. With this many, many connected events, please, what I'm saying to you is different from what, I don't want you to take this as an instruction. After second to third year, I didn't go back home for money anymore. I returned back only after 4 or 5 years with my certificate. Say, I have graduated, sir. And I am eternally grateful to him for those words. Most people spoil their children. Eternally for those, it was like, others reacted and we have, in fact, some could exchange words. But never, not once. And by the time I brought my certificate, he called all his associates and she said, see, my son. At this age, he's a doctor now. He celebrated. He over celebrated it. He gathered the people together. Hallelujah. There was no kind of prayer he didn't pray for me before he passed. Say, have anybody you have heard of globally doing what you are doing, you will exceed them. All manner, that is from his heart. Please accept responsibility. Accept responsibility. So you don't die a liability. That was all the reason why I brought the story. How he started his own life at the age of 18. Minimal education he had. And then how he pushed me and others to accept responsibility on time. And not just be lazing about and hanging about and looking for who to blame or who has money to give me or who has this. And just be rugged. Today till tomorrow, I am unable to look at a man in church as a sponsor. It came from that training. If I can walk away from home and go through school for half so many years and return back with my certificate without having to look and say these are traceable sources, even legitimate sources, Abba, I can't be doing the work of God now and be looking at a man and say, if not for this man, this church won't function. Dunamis Church has never had a sponsor from beginning to tomorrow. And if you ever hear anybody, including this speaker, said, if not for me, this work will not happen, then you are face to face with somebody who is about to die. Because nobody can take the glory of God and survive it. Take your seat. So I respect people, we respect people, but we look up to nobody but God. Somebody said he wants to carry out a project for us on this side. And I told him, if this is a project you have been licensed by government to do, then don't bring one cc of it here. Because this is a church organization, not a government location. Somebody, head of an organization, government organization, brought a check during this construction. And he said, this is our contribution. This is their contribution. Their contribution to this project. And it was a government organization with government, with a checkbook bearing the name of that organization. I looked at it and said, what a useless. Eh? So you want our name to be in government record? That there is money that came from here into this construction. What? So I said, take back that check in a hurry. The man wrote an apology letter, an appreciation. He's so touched by our action. How much was it? 1 million. Million. $1 million, that is one person suffering. $1 million. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Because you are interested in cow meat, you now reduce yourself to the level of cow. Is God speaking to anybody here? Youth age is responsibility age. The youth who refuses to accept responsibility, the second thing to note is, will never embrace the possibilities of life. If you refuse to accept responsibility, to do the things you are meant to do, when you are meant to do them, you will never see the possibilities and opportunities of life. The possibilities and opportunities in God. they won't see it. By tomorrow, maybe we might itemize some of the responsibilities that the youth must accept. But tonight, I'll mention just one, and that is the one we have been dealing with. It is the responsibility of accessing the knowledge and secrets of God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Job chapter 29 verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. The days of youth are the days of secrets. They are the days of knowledge. God is eager to reveal secrets to youth. God is eager to give insight and light to youth. God is eager. Somebody say a loud amen. Now, the sequence is you access the knowledge of God, and then in the course of your knowledge of God, you access the secrets of God. Am I communicating? You know a person first before the person shares with you his secrets. So you access the knowledge of God, and in the course of your knowledge of God, you are connected to the secrets of God. What is in the knowledge of God? What will the knowledge of God do for you? I'm going to rush through this now. Number one, the knowledge of God is the secret of strength, supernatural strength. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32. Number two, so the knowledge of God is the secret of supernatural strength. Number two, the knowledge of God is the secret of impact and exploits in life. Whenever a person is to make impact, generate attention in his generation, it is a product of the knowledge of God. And this impact or exploit can be in the realm of academics, it can be in the realm of business, it can be in the realm of anything. There's a young man in our ministry. The mother is in this church, parents are in this church. Right from his secondary school days, I would lay hands on him, lay hands on his hair. He wore big hair. I would lay hands on the hair, play with him all the time. Then he went to America to study chemical engineering. Petroleum chemical engineering, and then from there to master's in chemical engineering, and then from there, I think he got a first class, and then he just kept on flying like that, and then got employed by a Shell or something like that in America. As at yesterday, I got this information how he invented a solution to blocked pipes and other such petrochemical things that affect drilling of oil in America and all that and all that and all that, and provided solution as an employee stroke inventor. He's a young man, he's not married yet. He's a child that grew here. Solidly celebrated by the organization. And I believe the way he is going, he will soon be head of globally. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Is the secret of exploit and impact. Thirdly, the knowledge of God is key to supernatural power. That I may know him and know power. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. To know him is to know power.
Number four, the knowledge of God is the secret of blessedness. The man is blessedness in life. The child who knows God is a blessed adult. I'm telling you, he's a blessed adult. Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Just because he knew Jesus, he shifted. Matthew chapter 16 from verse 16, 17, 18. Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Your level of the knowledge of God limits your level of the blessing in life. It limits it. We are not blessed at the same level, even as pastors, because we don't know God to the same degree. Those who talk are plenty, but those who know God are few. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They are those who know God are few. How many of you know a storm? A storm. You know what a storm is. Do you know that there are different levels of knowing what a storm is? Level number one. You read it in the dictionary, what a storm is. Two, somebody described to you what a storm is. So, you have a higher knowledge of the storm than the person who just read the definition. Somebody described a storm to you. Third, you stood in front of the Atlantic Ocean and watched a storm. That is third level knowledge. Four, you are inside the ship. In the midst of a storm. Those are degrees of knowledge. And as we have such degrees of knowledge, so do we have degrees of the knowledge of God. There are people who have literature knowledge of God. There are those who have hearsay knowledge. Job said, I have heard you with the hearing of the ear. But now my eye sees. And I repent in dust and ashes. And then you have observational knowledge. But the highest of it is experiential. Experiential. One day I said to God, I need fire in my life. I need more fire in my life. Then the fire began to burn in my body. And it was so intense that my wife went to the fridge and brought ice block to place on my chest and back and head. I'm not talking about she said, I was screaming. And she said, what's going on? I said, it's fire. Fire. She brought ice water. No way. She brought ice block to counteract a fire that was not physical. We don't say many things. Because in talking, there's no use. We have a lot of people who build the whole ministry on stories. On stories, 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 stories. Here, there, I saw this vision, I saw this. It doesn't do nothing. There are things, the other day I was sharing something with my children. I said, the only person that is aware of what I'm sharing with you is my wife. You remember? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Experiential knowledge. That is by you are not knowing by what you heard. So if they say fire, there are those who know what fire is.
One day we had a fire service, a ministration. We're asking God for a fire encounter. And the fire landed on one of the young men there. And it was physical scar. One of those young men in that, after that meeting, prayed for 21 hours nonstop. In a stretch. Are you following what I'm saying here today? The knowledge of God is the secret of supernatural power. Supernatural power. Somebody said to me yesterday, he said he saw a revelation last night where we're going for a program and a mighty serpent crossed the road to stop us from going for the program. It's a big, he had never seen such a size. He said the people that went with us, they tried to stop, but no way. The more they prayed, the more the serpent. He said, so I landed from the vehicle and then ran to where the serpent is. Engaged it. I think the serpent flew and entered the river. I followed him inside there. And a sword, mighty fire sword, bam, slashed his head. Carried it and lifted it up and came out. When he said it's such a visit, I say it is real. Myself, I've seen that kind, those kind of things. And I can behave like that. I'm not shocked. That's my normal operation. Somebody lift your right hand and say, Father! Say it louder. Say, Father! I make demands. On fire. Say, Father, give me the experience of the knowledge of who you are. Give me the experience of the knowledge of who you are. Give me the experience of the knowledge of who you are. Experiential knowledge. I receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Let me round off quickly. I think I'll just stop one here and then we'll just stop and go. The knowledge of God, number 6. Number 5. This is 5 now. Is key to spiritual refreshing and revival. Spiritual refreshing and revival. Spiritual refreshing and revival. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, all the way to verse 3. He said, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth. That is revival. That is refreshing. We know as we follow on to know, then he comes to us as the rain, as the former and the latter rain unto the earth. Stand up on your feet. Come to us as the rain, as the former and the latter rain unto the earth. Then shall we know if we follow on to know. It's going forth, it's prepared as the morning, and it shall come to us as the rain, the former and the latter rain unto the earth. Lift up your hands everywhere you are, and let's begin to. Do you have the lyrics of that song I said to you?
Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord is going far. He's prepared as the morning. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord is going far. He's prepared as the morning.
Excellent. Lift up your hands. We are going to take this. First of all, we are going to take it verse by verse, and then go into the chorus. Lift your hands and lift your voice and let's appreciate Him. Give Him the praise tonight. Say, Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy in my life tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy for my life. I come before You today. I ask, Lord, that You help me to know You like I have never known before. I ask that You bring me into the realm of experiential knowledge. Bring me into the realm of experiential knowledge. Bring me into the realm of experiential knowledge. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Singing for us the tune of the song. The wordings are very, very heavy. So we'll sing verse 1, 2, 3 and go to the chorus. Sing it as a prayer. As the heart pants, let's go.
As the heart pants, let the door of trouble, so the Lord, so my soul cries. After the Almighty God,
again, verse 1. As the heart pants after the water breaks, so my soul pants after the Almighty God. As the heart pants
after the water breaks, so my soul pants.
Second verse. One thing. Desire.
Desire.
One more time, one thing. One thing.
Forgetting those things which are here.
again and forgetting. I'm
everybody
sing, they shall we know.
Let's go.
Sing it three more times. Then shall we know, then shall we know.
If we follow on to know the Lord is going for, he's prepared a journey, then shall we know. If we follow on to know the Lord, he's going for.
Sing it two more times,
then shall we know. If we follow us to know the Lord, he's going for. He's prepared us the money, then shall we know. If we follow us to know, he's going for.
Sing it one more time,
then shall we know. If we follow us to know the Lord, he's going for, he's prepared a journey, then shall we go. If we follow us to know, he's going for.
Final time. Then shall we go, then shall we go.
If we follow us to know, he's going for, he's prepared a journey, then shall we go. Then shall we know, if we follow up to know that he's going for, he's prepared a journey. Then shall we know, if we follow up to know that he's going for, he's prepared a journey. Then shall we know, if we follow up to know that he's going for, he's prepared us the body. Then shall we go. If we follow us to God, he's going for. He's prepared us the body.
Lift up your hands and your voice and begin to pray right now. Give me an experiential knowledge of you. An experiential knowledge of you. Let me know you, Lord, by experience. Experiential knowledge, Lord. Experiential knowledge, Lord. Experiential knowledge, Lord. Open your mouth and speak to God.